All right, Alexander, let's do an update as to what's going on in the United States. Just a couple of hours ago, for us right now, of course, this will be maybe a day delayed for people watching the video. Trump tweeted, "We will win." He said, "We will win." So Trump is starting. He's been a little quiet, aside from tweets that get censored by Twitter, of course. But I think slowly, he's making his way out, and I wouldn't be surprised to see some rallies coming up real soon, which I think would mean that the Trump team probably has an entire marketing campaign rollout set up, and we may be seeing the first signs of that. But anyway, he tweeted, "We will win," displaying once again his confidence in the process. We also have big news from the Department of Justice that Barr is now taking all of this on. And we have a resignation at the DOJ from the, let me get the exact title, the director of the DOJ's Election Crimes Branch. He has resigned in protesting the announcement from Barr. His name is Richard Pilger, by the way. So he has resigned, which is really interesting. And he was the guy that was actually, one of the people involved with the IRS scandal in the Obama years. So I think it's not a stretch to say that he probably doesn't have much love for Barr or for the MAGA movement that voted for Trump as well. So a lot of developments, and there's a lot more voting is still going on. The court cases in Pennsylvania are rolling out. We got more affidavits, more cases seem to be on their way. I'll say what I think we've both been saying from the beginning. It's going to be a hard battle. The chances are not, in Trump's favor, but it seems to me that with each day, the Trump team is chipping away and they're starting to get momentum with each passing day, a little bit of momentum. So what's the news, Alexander? How do you see things?
Well, first of all, I agree with that. And can I just make a point, which is, confirms your point about, that they're chipping away. I notice that there's been a quiet shift in the Democrat position, not just the Democrats, but much of the media that supports them, which is that they're not, just denying any longer that, fraud has happened. They're saying merely that, the fraud wasn't enough to change the outcome. Now, that may be true, by the way, but it is nonetheless an interesting shift, and a telling one. And it's not a shift that everybody shares in, but it may be a sign of the way in which the evidence is starting to build up. Difficult to say, of course, because there's probably an awful lot more evidence that the lawyers possess, and which is now being presented to the courts, which we haven't seen. So it's very difficult for us, who haven't seen this evidence, to assess its quality and to comment about it. Now, the other thing I wanted to say is, given that this is so, given that there is now this, I wouldn't say it's exactly an admission of election fraud. I don't want to put words in people's mouths, but perhaps an acceptance, even by the Democrats, that some may have happened. It is very interesting and very remarkable and very revealing indeed that the person at the DOJ, whose job it is to investigate election fraud, doesn't want to investigate election fraud. In fact, he not only doesn't want to investigate election fraud, he resigns from the DOJ rather than actually do so, which I find is really a very, very telling thing indeed. It demonstrates once again one of the fundamental problems that Donald Trump and indeed Barr have had, and where, to be frank, they are both at fault. They did not clear out the DOJ. There are lots of these people at every level, it's quite clear now, of the DOJ bureaucracy, which, by the way, let's never forget, includes the FBI, who are there, plugged in, still carrying on the various policies that they did under Obama, who remain utterly and bitterly hostile to Donald Trump and who obstruct him at every opportunity. And now, they are becoming emboldened because they think that, he's probably on his way out. and some of them are coming out and saying so. So it's perhaps not surprising, not really so surprising, that the DOJ's chief investigator of election fraud doesn't want to investigate election fraud, because as far as he's concerned, he doesn't want to see, even if what is, you know, he doesn't even want to see what is in fact apparently there in plain sight. So there we are. That's the first thing. But can I just say, it is important that there is now an investigation of election fraud going on. And it is even more important that these court cases are now starting to gain traction. It's very, very difficult to get court cases like this going at such a short time. But I think two things have happened which is going to inevitably lend weight to them. Firstly, is the fact that so many attorney generals of so many red states have now weighed in and filed amicus briefs in support of this claim to the Supreme Court on the Pennsylvania case. And the Pennsylvania case is an important one, by the way, because Pennsylvania is the biggest of the, you know, the state with the largest number of delegates to the Electoral College amongst the disputed states. So that's an interesting and very revealing fact. The other is that Mitch McConnell has come forward and has said, has been repeating, you know, the talking points, you know, count every legal vote, don't count any illegal votes. Has been lending credence, lending his weight, if you like, to these cases too. Because Mitch McConnell, who is a, shall we say, extremely canny operator, was not at all clear which way he was going to jump. But he's now decisively jumped, if you like, on Trump's side. And to come back to the tweet which of Trump's, which started this video, about we are going to win, or we will win, that could be a sign of Trump's growing confidence, because he now senses that he's got the Republican Party on side. The Republican Party in the form of the attorney generals from the red states weighing in to file amicus briefs, and Mitch McConnell, the likely Senate majority leader, doing the same.
Yeah, I mean, I think the dynamic is very much for the Republicans, especially in the Senate. They have two seats in Georgia, and they also have a disputed one with, I believe it's John James in Michigan as well, who I think there may have been some irregularities in his narrow loss as well. And I think that Mitch McConnell is kind of saying, and all Republicans in the Senate are saying, you know what? If we want to win those two seats, if maybe we even want to dispute some of the other seats that maybe, you know, we're too close for strange reasons, let's leave it like that, and maybe we can pick up some more Senate seats and strengthen our hand, you know, it's all dependent on Trump. Trump is the party at this moment. And if we decide, and if we backstab him now, we're going to lose the Georgia seats. We're going to get wiped out in 2022. I mean, I think McConnell has kind of had that moment where he says Trump is the party for the next four years at least.
Absolutely. I think that's exactly right. I mean, I think we discussed it recently, in fact, that, I mean, Donald Trump won 71 million votes in the election that we know about. That is more than any other Republican candidate has ever won. It's more than any other candidate for the presidency has ever won, apart, we're told, from Joe Biden. He won more than Barack Obama. He won more than anyone else. That is a huge number of people. That is a vast number of people out there who came out and voted for Donald Trump in record numbers. You can't just ignore that if you are the Republican Party, because that is now your base. And it's quite clear to me, at least, that these people are much more loyal to Donald Trump than they are to the Republican Party. At least many of them are. Enough of them to make a difference in places like Georgia and Michigan. And you're quite right, the Republicans do need to win those two seats in Georgia. I think they will. But of course, from their point of view, they need to get all those Trump voters in Georgia fired up again and willing to come out and vote for those two Republicans in Georgia and possibly that other Republican in Michigan in order to get them across the line. And that's why Mitch McConnell is now coming out and saying what he's saying. May I just add that you were talking about Donald Trump being very quiet and, you know, sort of not being very visible. Well, there may be two reasons for that. One was because, you know, the man may need a rest. I mean, you know, he's campaigning relentlessly in the run up to the election. So, you know, we've got to accept that that is a physical, there may be a physical need for, you know, time to recharge the batteries and rest and get yourself going again. But the other thing is, it may also be the case that from his point of view, remaining quiet emphasizes to the Republican Party how much they need him, because they need those two Georgia seats and they need him to come out and support those two Georgia candidates. The very last thing the Republican Party needs is Donald Trump silent in the White House. They need him to come out fighting for them in Georgia, possibly in Michigan too. So now that Mitch McConnell has come down, you know, from the, you know, from the mountaintops and spoken out, you know, and made these, you know, portentous comments in support of Trump, now that the AGs of the various red states are weighing in with their amicus briefs, Trump is able to start making himself more visible, firstly by his tweets, perhaps in other ways, and we could very well be seeing more of him within the next few days. So, you know, fatigue may have been a factor, calculation, and Trump, people always underestimate this aspect of him. He is absolutely someone who is able to calculate. He does calculate. He's not just an instinctual politician, as people say. Calculation was probably a much bigger factor than fatigue was.
Yeah, and I expect that you're going to start to see Trump go out on the marketing offensive, on the marketing attack, number one. I think that the strategy, the basic strategy remains the same, which is to flip Pennsylvania and maybe get it to the Supreme Court. Let's not forget that on the Supreme Court, you have a Clarence Thomas, and I'm sure he hasn't forgotten what Biden did to him. And of course, you have a Brett Kavanaugh, who I'm also very sure hasn't forgotten what Kamala Harris tried to do to him. So you also have that dynamic working as well. And finally, you also have the fact that I think the Democrats' strategy of trying, one of their strategies, which was to try and get the Republicans to abandon Trump, now looks like it has completely failed and collapsed. That part of the strategy did not work. While I think another part of their strategy, which is just to pretend that Biden is the president-elect and go about business, and we'll do a video on that, go about what a president-elect's business would be like if he was transitioning. I think that's another strategy they have, which I think we'll cover in another video. But definitely one of the pillars of their strategy, which was to get people to abandon Trump, I think that's failed.
I agree. I mean, I think that was actually, you know, in the short term, at least, the most dangerous thing for Trump. The Republican Party had come out and said to Trump, you know, you must concede. That would have been a very difficult situation for Trump indeed. Instead, by remaining inactive but standing his ground, he's brought them back to him.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, anything else you want to add? Or should we wrap this
up? No, we've got lots to wear. I'm not going to say anything more now, but all I will say is this. I mean, this is not over till it's over. There's an awful lot to do still. And again, I am perhaps not the only person. I find it very irritating to be constantly told how it is over, despite the fact that all these court cases are going on, all these investigations are now happening. Votes are still being counted, which seems extraordinary, but they are. And the Electoral College hasn't yet met. So, you know, and I was reading a discussion somewhere that the actual number of, you know, the difference in you know, the number of votes that mattered. I mean, obviously, Biden is, you know, if you believe the figures, 4 million votes ahead of Trump in the you know, the general terms. But if you actually look at the numbers of people who voted in the battleground states, it would only take 50,000 apparently to shift to the other side for the decision to go the other way, which is less than was the case in 2016. It would have, Hillary Clinton would have needed to win back 70,000 votes to change the election outcome. This time it's only 50,000. So, you know, we're far from finished.
Yeah, absolutely. We've been saying it for a while that this is going to take some time to clear up. But the propaganda machine is working overdrive to make everyone believe this is all done.
Absolutely. Absolutely. By the way, I mean, you know, if we start seeing recounts going the wrong way and votes in Pennsylvania, the anger and fury of some people in the media will be a wonder to behold.
Yeah, to say the least. All right, guys. That is the video. Click the like, click the subscribe button. Please donate to us on PayPal, Patreon, and subscribe. Star, your donation helps out this channel a whole lot. And go to the Durant Shop. Pick up some merchandise. We've got the best merchandise, shirts, hats, all kinds of great things. It really helps out this channel.
Absolutely. The best merchandise is a mug, for example, with the flag of the United Kingdom of Great Britain, the great English-speaking nation where I am privileged to live and to be a citizen of. But you will find mugs, and we have the best mugs in the world, mugs with the flags of many countries, including, of course, the United States and many of the states of the Union, but also flags of lots of other countries. If you're looking for the flag of your own country, come to our shop. You're bound to find, or you're very likely to find, a mug with your flag. And you will also find our amazing shirts, and many of them also have flags, including quite probably the flag of your country too. And we make the best t-shirts, short-sleeved and long-sleeved in the world, and the best polo shirts, and the best hats, you know, baseball hats, caps, truckers hats, and hoodies, and other great things. You'll find them in our shop, best in the world, and you support the Durant by coming to our shop. And of course, don't forget, as Alex said, you can support us on Patreon, and you can support us on Surprise Star, and you can find us out on our other platforms, BitChute, Odyssey, and all the rest. So come and support us, and come switch on to our next broadcast.
All right, Alexander Mercuris, thank you very much. Till next time, everybody, take care.